Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
I'd like for us to read and I'm going to preach the message of the potter from the potter this morning, and reading from the Message Bible, Jeremiah 18, if you'd like to turn there. Well, you can look at it on the screen as well, but this on the screen is from the Message Bible. God told Jeremiah, "Up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say." So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there, working away at his wheel. Whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you're working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. Then God's message came to me. "Can't I do just as this potter does, people of Israel? God's decree. Watch this potter. In the same way that this potter works the clay, I work on you, people of Israel. At any moment I may decide to pull up a people or a country by the roots and get rid of them. But if they repent of their wicked lives, I will think twice and start over with them. At another time, I might decide to plant a people or a country. But if they don't cooperate and don't listen to me, I will think again and give up on the plans I had for them." I could go several ways with this message. It would be a good message for 4th of July. But I'm not going to do that. Message from the potter. When Jeremiah was told, let's pray together before I continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message that you gave to Jeremiah. Those many, many years ago. Lord, I thank you that it's applicable to our lives today. And I ask that indeed you will open our hearts and minds to the message you gave to Jeremiah, and that we might apply it to our lives 2010 in Winton, Merced County. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When Jeremiah was told to go down to the potter's house, he simply obeyed and went there. Evidently, there was a place that everyone knew where it was, because he just went there immediately. A place evidently that the people went to buy their pots and not pans, but pots, and that they use for their house and use to carry water and all the other things that are there. When he was there, he saw three things. He saw the potter, he saw the wheel, and he saw the clay that was on the wheel. He saw in the potter an intellectual being, intellectual person that was working on the clay. He saw this individual forming an art of creation. It might have been something that a person would use in the house for a vase of flowers, or it may have been a pot that they would use to carry on their head to go down to the well to bring water back to the house. Jeremiah saw the wheel, and the wheel is the means by which that clay was formed. The clay wouldn't have been formed without the wheel. It had to be turning in order for him to form that clay that was there. And then he saw the clay, and to Jeremiah, he understood that the clay really referred to people. He was talking about the nation Israel. And that the potter took that clay and he molded it and formed it in different shapes. And when it was dried on a kennel, then they could use it in many different ways. In Jeremiah's understanding, in God's words to him, God said, "I am the potter. I am the individual that you're looking at." And he understood that God was the one with authority, that God was the one that had absolute authority over that clay that he was working with. He knew what he wanted with the clay. He knew what he wanted it to look like. He knew what the purpose was. If you look at the picture, that was there, you will see in each one of those that the potter has a keen interest in the clay. He does not lift up his eyes and look here and there to see what's around. His interest solely is on the clay. He's looking at it. His eye does not wave back and forth. He is interested in that one thing that is there. He's interested in what he's working on. And Jeremiah also recognized that the potter's power, if you'll notice in some of the pictures that was there, the potter's hand was working on it. And sometimes he used his fingers gently in order to mold it. And sometimes he used his hands strongly to cause that clay to be formed in a different pattern. The hands were gentle at times, and other times there was great force exerted. Jeremiah saw the wheel. The wheel is that which speaks of the circumstances, the things in our lives that are whirling, the things in our lives that sometimes are outside of us, that put pressure on us. The wheel was necessary in order for the clay to be formed. The potter couldn't form that clay without that wheel turning. And so it was necessary. The wheel or the circumstances will be laid aside once that pot is formed, once it's made. But the circumstances are necessary in order for that pot to be formed. Sometimes when we look at our lives and we see those circumstances that are difficult, those circumstances that are hard for our lives, we need to recognize that it's the potter who's turning the wheel. It's him that is in charge. And then there's the clay that he saw. And this speaks of the capacity and of the individual's relationship with God. The clay is plastic. The clay is bendable. The clay is moldable. You'll never see on the potter's wheel another object like steel filings or hard rock or bricks or dirt clods. Clay is there because it's moldable. And in this simple lesson that Jeremiah saw when he went to the potter's field, he saw the potter, God, the intellectual being that was molding the clay. He saw himself as clay, as he saw other individuals as well as the clay that God was forming. And then he saw the wheel, the circumstances that were there. Now, when a person looks at that and they say, God is in charge, he's at the wheel of my life, and he's forming me, some individuals rebel and say, at the very idea, and say, God's not going to form my life. God's not going to mold my life. I am the captain of my ship. I'm going to decide what I'm going to do. I'm the master of my fate. And if we look at God solely as the power, then we see that. And sometimes we're afraid because of what we see. So we need to look at the principle that is here. We must look to see the character of God. If you'll put up the principle element there. God is sovereign, and his power is, and his presence are there. But God also is something else. The love that is there. The clay has no right to say to the potter, I don't like what you're doing to me. I don't like the way you're mashing me. I don't like the way that you're molding me. But to really gain the principle, we need to understand that the potter has in mind for us what is the best for our life, and sometimes it takes some of that molding in order to make us that way. We don't recognize that all the time until we come to two distinct Christian holidays. We see that at Christmas when we recognize that God so loved the world that he sent his Son. We recognize that at Easter whenever we see Jesus on the cross. His death, His blood that He shed for us. The song says, infinite love, how can it be that You, my God, died for me? He took my place. He carried my sin to the cross. He died as sacrifice for not only me, but for all mankind. And I, as the clay then, can be on that wheel and recognize God not only puts pressure on different places of my life, but God loves me. And the principle also deals with the character of man. We're created beings. God is the creator of all the universe, and He made man. He made me. The question comes, shall man then challenge the one who created him? There's a difference between the clay and man. The clay on the wheel has no choice. It's just there. But God created you and me with a will. The clay had no will, and the potter could do whatever he wanted to with it. Had no right to choose. But God made you and me to have a will. And we can choose to be on that wheel and allow God to mold our lives. What is the will that God placed in us? It's simply the power within us to choose the direction, to dictate where we want to go, to determine our steps that we're going to take, to dominate our life. And every woman, man, boy, and girl will ultimately choose where they're going because of the will. But we can also, with our will, choose for God to mold us. We can say, God, I'm in Your hands. I'm allowing You to mold my life as would be best for my life. And then there's a purpose in what the potter is doing. In verse 3, he said, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. The potter had in mind what he was going to make. He wasn't just putting the clay down there and saying, well, whatever comes out, comes out. He said, there's the clay, and in my mind, this is what I want that pot to be. He had a thought for that clay pot individually. And he has a thought in mind for your life, and your life, and for my life. The clay is ignorant of what that ultimate desire is. It's just there. And we don't really know all the time the direction that God wants us to be. When I was a boy growing up, I didn't know that eventually I would come to California and serve in California. I didn't know all those things. But God had in mind what He wanted me to do. And whenever we look at the principle of God's sovereignty, we become filled with fear. But when we look at the purpose that God has for us, then we begin to have an ease in our life because we know that it's the God, the sovereign one, who is molding my life, the one who cares for me. And our hearts can become comforted and quieted. He has something special for us. His fingers are not just working aimlessly. The wheel is not just turning to be turning. There's a purpose there. We may not see that purpose in the beginning. We may not see what God wants for your life right now. We may not see even tomorrow what God wants in your life. On the pictures that I had there, when you looked at that little blob of clay that was on the wheel, you would not know what it was going to be. And we don't know all the time what God wants for our life. But when we yield our life to Him and we say to God, God, I don't know, but I'm willing to yield myself to You, then God begins to start forming us and making us and causing our life to be much more than it could ever be apart from that. It becomes a thing of usefulness. It becomes a thing of beauty. This is one of the deep mysteries of God, that He can take this clay of my life and he can form that into something useful. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, Paul said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What Paul really was saying is that we are God's work of art. Do you know that? You are God's work of art. And he has you on the wheel. And he's trying to mold you into something that is useful that no one else can do. Something that is beautiful. Something that is useful. You are his work of art. Peter said it in a different way in 2 Peter 2:9. He said, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God has gained whenever we yield ourselves to him. God has gained because he has something that he can show to all mankind and say, "This is my work of art." And he looks at your life and says, "This is my work of art." But we also have gained because we have become that which is useful to God in God's kingdom, a thing of beauty and a thing of usefulness. And when man finds God's throne and he yields to that master potter, he finds that his life is being molded into something much more than he could have made for himself. Something that is fair and something that is beautiful and something that is useful to other mankind. Some may say, "But I've lived these 10 years or 20 years or 30 years and some of us 70 years and I've done nothing. My life has not been yielded. There continually seems to be something in me that causes that clay pot to have to be smashed back down and start reforming. There's a pebble in it, or there's something from that mars it and scars it. And my life never seems to have been molded the way God wants it to be." The message of the potter to Jeremiah was, no matter how many times he has to mash it back down, he wants to mold it into something useful and beautiful. No matter what your age is, God is still in the business of molding you and making you into something that he can use and that will be beautiful for you. So there is a purpose in what God's doing. But we also have to look at the person that is there, the person of the potter. God is sovereign and man is the clay. And it's difficult when we look at that and say, "Well, you know, I'm not sure that I want God to make. I don't know what the purpose will be. I don't know all these things." It's sort of difficult for us to say because God is sovereign. And should I yield to him? Man can say, "But God has a purpose, but I'm afraid to submit to it. I'm not really sure I want to do what he wants me to do." So we need to look at the person of the potter. Who is that individual? Who is the potter? I must know him before I can really yield to him of what he wants for my life. When we look at the potter, we recognize that the potter is righteous. The potter is holy. The potter is caring. But when we boil it all down, we recognize that the potter is love. And I could submit to love because love desires the very best for my life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that love desires the best for us. And so I can submit to that person because I know that what he wants for my life is the best for me. I know that the principle is that he is sovereign And now I am not afraid of His purpose because I know He cares for me and what He wants for my life is the very best for me. I've faced those days when His hands on in my life on the wheel and the circumstances are there and the hands have mashed on certain areas of my life and it's been difficult and I've wanted to cry out, I don't like what's happening. But then when I take time to look and recognize that it's God who cares for me. It's God's love that is there. And He wants the very best for me. Then I can yield to that potter. He turns the wheel. He's the one that's sitting there, mashing the treadle and causing that wheel to turn. And this really should bring comfort to some of us who have faced some difficult days in the past. He comes with the thought of love for you and the desire to make something of you that is beautiful and something that is useful, something that is beyond your dreams for your life. If He breaks us with the pressure, He'll also remake us. If there's a crushing, there will also be a recreating. I've brought to you this morning the thought of the principle that Jeremiah found. God is sovereign. And I'll tell you that your life will never be what it should be and could be without yielding to that principle of God's sovereignty. I brought to you the purpose that Jeremiah taught at the potter's wheel in saying that God has a purpose for your life. And you'll never be satisfied with life until you come to that place of saying, I want to yield my life to Him, the potter, and let Him make my life what He wants my life to be. And then I've brought to you the person, the very heart of the potter, the one who loves you, not only the one that puts pressure on you, not only the one that tries to mold you to His purpose, but the one that desires the very best for your life. And when we know the heart of the potter and we see the scars upon the hands of Jesus and the wounds that He had on the cross, then we can submit to that principle and to that purpose. Into that person. Last word. We can take the clay out of the potter's hand and render it useless. If you remember in the New Testament when Jesus was betrayed and Judas went back and threw the 30 pieces of silver on the priest floor there. The priest said, we can't use that 30 pieces of silver. And they went out and bought the potter's field. You know what was in the potter's field? Broken pots. Useless pots. The field was scattered with the wreckage of those pots that refused to yield to the master's hand. If I were to take a little more time, we could talk more about the potter's field. Because they went out and bought that potter's field. And in essence, God was saying, I'm buying back all this wreckage. And I can remake that wreckage that's there. Even if you've missed... Even if you have missed the purpose for life for those years in the past, the potter is willing to take that and remake it into what he wants it to be. No matter how many years you have left, whether it's one or whether it's 50, God wants to take that and mold it and make it into that which is the very best for you. Some here may be struggling with what you should be doing in His kingdom, what you should be doing in this church. Some may have refused God's purpose and refused His hand upon your life and said, I don't like what's happening. And have the questions of, should I yield my life to His control? Some may be saying, what ministry should I be involved in? God is the potter and can remake and remold and give you a fresh start. But the key for us is different than that clay that was on the potter's wheel, because we have that will. And we simply say, God, here I am on this wheel. I yield my life to You. And You can make me whatever You want me to be. A man by the name of Pollard, 60 years old, became convinced that God wanted him to be a missionary in Africa. And as he began to turn over in his mind what God wanted him to do, this song came to his mind. Far different than the one you saw to start with. The one we saw to start with was just a glob of clay. But because of the potter, his idea, the principle of who he was, the purpose that he had, this clay pot was formed. And Jeremiah was told, can't I do the same with you, O house of Israel? And he would be saying to you today, can I do the same with you, O people here, First Baptist Church of Winton? Let me lead us in prayer, and we're going to sing our invitation song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. I don't know what decisions need to be made this morning. Usually in Baptist churches, probably 90% of the individuals that are here have already made that decision of receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There may be some that have not made that decision. And this morning you want to say, I want to yield my life to that potter, to that intellectual creator, God, who created me, and I want to let Him have my life. There may be some of you this morning that have been struggling about areas of your life, and you want to recommit, rededicate all that you have and say, God, it's all Yours. I give it to You this morning. I want to lead us in prayer, and then Brother Martin will come and be here at the front for those that might like to come and talk with him for a few moments or pray with him. And we'll let Gary, You'll take care of the rest of the invitation then. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning for Your loving kindness to us. Thank You for the message that You gave to Jeremiah. And I ask, Father, that You'd help us to apply it to our lives today. I pray for those that need to make some decision this morning. May they yield to You. I pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Thank you.
Let's stand together, please, as we continue singing the rest of this song. Have thine own way.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.